Passage 2. Medicine in Britain and America. Exercises. 1. Listen to the passage and choose the best answer to each question you have heard.
In Britain, there is a National Health Service, NHS, which is paid for by taxes and national insurance. And in general, people do not have to pay for medical treatment. Every person is registered with a doctor in their local area, known as a general practitioner, or GP. This means that their name is on the GP's list, and they may make an appointment with the doctor. People do sometimes have to pay part of the costs of the drugs that the doctor prescribes. GPs are trained in general medicine, but are not specialists in any particular field. If a patient needs to see a specialist doctor, they must first go to their GP, and then the GP will make an appointment for the patient to see a specialist at a hospital. Although everyone in Britain can have free treatment under the National Health Service, it is also possible to have treatment done privately, for which one has to pay. Some people have private health insurance to help them pay for private treatment. Under the NHS, people who need to go to hospital may have to wait for a long time on a long waiting list for their treatment. If they pay for the treatment, they will probably get it quickly. Unlike Britain, the U.S. does not have a national health care service. The government does help pay for some medical care for people who have low incomes and for the old, but most people buy insurance to help pay for medical care. Some people cannot afford insurance, but are not poor enough to qualify for government help. The cost of medical insurance and the problems of those who cannot afford it are an important political subject. When people are ill, they usually go first to a general practitioner or an internist. Unlike in Britain, however, people sometimes go straight to a specialist without seeing their general practitioner first. As in Britain, if a patient needs to see a specialist doctor, their general doctor will usually refer him to one. 1. Which of the following is not true according to the passage?
2. What is the possible disadvantage of the NHS in Britain?
3. Under the NHS in Britain, what should a patient do if he wants to see a specialist?
4. What do you know about American healthcare services?
5. In America, what does a person usually do when he is ill?
Exercises. 2. Listen to the passage again and write T, true, or F, false, for each statement you have heard.
1. In Britain, people never need to pay for medical treatment.
2. GPs are trained in general medicine.
3. In Britain, a patient can probably get quick treatment from a specialist if he pays for it.
4. The American government shows no concern for medical care.
5. Similar to Britain, an American general practitioner can also give the name of a specialist to a patient.
Passage 3. Smoking. Exercises. Listen to the passage twice and summarize the causes for people to quit smoking with the words and phrases given. American Indians grew and smoked tobacco before Columbus came to America. The tobacco industry has been important for America's economy ever since colonial farmers grew tobacco for export 300 years ago. Even today, tobacco is grown in large quantities along America's eastern coast. Since the 1800s, the most common form of smoking tobacco has been in cigarettes. Men and women of all ages smoke cigarettes, and there are dozens of brands sold in the U.S. Nearly all cigarettes now sold have filters. Pipe smoking has some popularity, and cigars are usually only smoked by older men. Over the past few years, many people have stopped smoking. This movement away from cigarettes began when lung cancer and other ailments were linked to smoking. In the 1970s, when taxes on cigarettes were greatly increased, cigarette smoking became much more expensive. Since the late 1970s, physical fitness has become a major aim of millions of Americans. These three factors have been the major causes for many people to kick the habit. Today, in the U.S., cigarette smoking is restricted in many ways. When smokers are in restaurants, on trains, or in public buildings, they may smoke only in designated areas. When they are on public buses, in theaters, and in classrooms, they may not smoke at all. Cigarettes are not advertised on television or radio. A notice is on every package of cigarettes sold in America, warning that smoking is dangerous to health. These regulations have reduced cigarette smoking significantly since they were instituted. Smoking is on the decline. Part D, Extensive Listening. Two American States. In this part, you are going to hear a longer passage. The passage is printed below with some words and expressions missing. As you listen, fill in each of the blanks with the words and expressions you have heard.
1. The State of Illinois. I am Illinois, the 24th largest state and the 21st to be admitted to the Union in 1817. There are two sides to me. First, I am farmland, rolling hills, and small country towns. And then, I am a city. Not my capital city of Springfield, though that is a great place, but the windy city, Chicago, where half my people live. You can always count on having a hot time in Chicago, but one night, in 1871, it got a little too hot. Rumor has it that a fire started in Miss O'Leary's shed when a cow kicked over a lantern, and that fire ended up destroying much of the city. Today, we have the three largest buildings in the world, the largest grain exchange in the country, and the world's busiest airport, O'Hare International. Before I go, I want to tell you about a favorite son of mine, Abraham Lincoln. Abe was a poor farmer's son who taught himself to read and write. He studied law and went into politics. He became the 16th, and some say one of the greatest presidents this country ever had. I am proud to call myself Illinois, the land of Lincoln. 2. The State of California. I am California, the 31st state, admitted into the Union in 1850. My capital city is Sacramento. Originally, I was a mythical place, hatched in the mind of a 16th century Spanish writer. But for the last 100 years, I've been producing and directing my own myths. You probably know them as movies or television shows. A town of mine called Hollywood cranks out most of this entertainment you see every day. Not everyone who lives here seems to be looking for something. In 1848, thousands of prospectors risked everything they had for work. I know it's rude to brag about your personal income, but I have to tell you that as states go, I'm pretty well off. In fact, if I were a country, I'd be the 6th richest in the world. But despite all my riches, creativity, and beauty, I sometimes feel as if I'm on shaky ground, because I am. I have a dozen major earthquake faults and hundreds of minor ones running through me like a geological spider web. But even though I have a lot of faults, I think I am pretty close to perfect. I am California, the Golden State.
Part E, Listening for Pleasure. Pop Songs. Born to Make You Happy.
Oh my love. show you how much I care.
Lesson 8. Youth. Part A. Getting Started. Short Conversations. Listen to the tape carefully and choose the right answer to each question you have heard. 1. My chemistry project is in trouble. My partner and I have totally different ideas about how to proceed.
You should try to meet each other halfway.
Question. What does the woman suggest? 2. What's the matter? You've been sitting there for ages just staring into space.
I told the Brownings I'd send them a postcard. Now I don't know what to say.
Question. What is the woman doing? 3. I've noticed that you get letters from Canada from time to time. Would you mind saving the stamps for me? My sister collects them.
My roommate's already asked for them.
Question. What will the woman probably do? 4. Next, shouldn't we get a telephone installed in the hall?
Fixing the shower pipe is far more important.
Question. What do we learn from the conversation? 5. I hope I won't oversleep. I've simply got to catch the first flight to New York.
If I were you, I'd request a wake-up call from the hotel reception.
Question. What does the woman advise the man to do?
6. You know, some TV channels have been rerunning a lot of comedies from the 60s. What do you think of those old shows?
So-so. But the new ones aren't so great either.
Question. What is the man's opinion on the new TV comedies?
7. I heard that Park Electronics is going to be holding interviews on campus next week.
Yeah? What day? I'd like to talk to them and drop off my resume.
Question. What does the woman want to do? 8. I knew Laurie played the piano, but I didn't know she played the guitar.
Neither did I. It seems she picked it up on her own over the summer.
Question. What does the woman mean? 9. It's so mild today. Want to go for a bike ride after your last class?
When is the latest time we could start? My last class is a chem lab, and it often runs late.
Question. What is likely to happen to the woman?
10. Aren't you leaving tomorrow on vacation? All packed and ready to go?
Not quite. I still have to stop by the drugstore and get my allergy prescription refilled.
Question. What does the man have to do for the vacation? 11. The floor is awfully wet. What happened?
No sooner had I gotten into the shower than the phone rang.
Question. What was the man doing when the phone rang?
12. Mary, did you drop off the roll of film for developing?
No, I got Susan to do it.
Question. What happened to the roll of film? 13. Could you please tell me where to find running shoes?
Yeah, they're on the second floor, in sporting goods.
Question. Where was this conversation probably taking place? 14. That leaky faucet is starting to get to me.
What should we do about it?
Question. What does the woman want to know? 15. Hello, I'd like 2 seats for the evening show.
Sorry, but the performance is already sold out. Would you be interested in something later this week?
Question. What does the woman imply? Part B. Intensive listening. Youth. Passage 1. Youth in the U.S. Exercises. 1. Listen to the passage and choose the best answer to each question you have heard.
Young people in the United States have a wide variety of interests apart from their schoolwork. As children, both boys and girls play many of the same games. They swim, play baseball and basketball, go boating and camping, and have fun in many kinds of sports and outdoor activities. Many youth organizations give young people a chance to develop and broaden their interests and to gain experience in working with others. Among these groups are the Boy Scouts, which serves more than 4 million boys, the Girl Scouts, with nearly 3 million girls, and the Boys and Girls Clubs of America, with over 1 million participants. These and other groups are guided by adults who volunteer their services. Civic, cultural, and religious groups also sponsor special programs for young people. In farm areas, boys and girls learn to work together in agriculture, homemaking, and citizenship activities. They compete for prizes in raising farm animals and growing crops. Secondary schools offer students a wide variety of activities to develop talents and skills. There are clubs for photography, music, theater, art, stamp collecting, natural science, and debating. Often schools have orchestras, bands, and singing groups, as well as a variety of competitive sports for both boys and girls. Most schools and colleges have some form of student government with elections to choose class representatives. These elected officers speak for their fellow students at student council meeting with teachers and school officials. They also organize social activities and take part in such community projects as fundraising for charity. Many young people hold part-time jobs after school hours. Thousands earn money by delivering newspapers or helping look after young children in private homes. Later, when they go to college, many youths continue to work part-time at a variety of jobs to help pay their expenses. For several weeks during the summer vacation, about 5 million school-aged children go to camps where they get plenty of recreational activities and learn various skills. There are more than 10,000 camps operated by private citizens and organizations. College students often work as counselors at these camps. 1. Which of the following is not mentioned as children's sports and outdoor activities?
2. Which of the following youth organizations has the biggest membership?
3. What activity is not conducted by boys and girls in farm areas?
4. How do secondary schools help students develop their talents and skills?
5. How do school-aged children earn money according to the passage?
Exercises. 2. Listen to the passage again and write T, true, or F, false for each statement you have heard.
1. American boys play different games than girls.
2. Many youth organizations have been set up to help young people develop and broaden their interests.
3. Student representatives are elected to speak for their fellow students and organize social activities.
4. School-age children usually do not hold part-time jobs.
5. Millions of college students go to summer camps for recreational activities and to learn skills.
Passage 2. Professional advice for young people. Exercises. 1. Listen to the passage and choose the best answer to each question you have heard. Most worthwhile careers require some kind of special training. Ideally, therefore, the choice of an occupation should be made even before the choice of a curriculum in high school. Actually, however, most people make several job choices during their working lives, partly because of economic and industrial changes, and partly to improve their positions. The one perfect job does not exist. Young people should therefore enter into a broad, flexible training program that will fit them for a field of work rather than for a single job. Unfortunately, many young people, knowing little about the job market or themselves for that matter, choose their life work on a hit-or-miss basis. Some drift from job to job. Others stick to work which they neither like nor suit. One common mistake is choosing an occupation for its real or imagined prestige. Too many high school students or their parents choose a professional field, disregarding both the relatively small proportion of workers in the profession and the extremely high educational and personal requirements. The imagined or real prestige of a profession or a white-collar job is not a good reason for choosing it as a life's work. Moreover, these occupations are not always well paid. Since a large proportion of jobs are in mechanical and manual work, the majority of young people should give serious consideration to these fields. Before making an occupational choice, a person should have a general idea of what he wants out of life and how hard he is willing to work to get it. Some people desire social prestige, others intellectual satisfaction. Some want security, others are willing to take risks for financial gain. Each occupational choice has its demands as well as its rewards.
1. Why should one choose an occupation before choosing the curriculum in high school?
2. Why do some people change their jobs during their working lives?
3. What kind of people can choose their life work well?
4. According to the author, what kind of job should most young people consider?
5. What's the main idea of the passage?
Exercises. 2. Listen to the passage again and complete the statements below. Passage 3. Advice from Bill Gates. Exercises. Listen to the passage twice and summarize Bill Gates' advice with the words and phrases given. In Bill Gates' book for high school and college graduates, there is a list of 8 things they did not learn in school. Listen and decide if you find them useful for your future. The 8 things are: 1. Life is not fair. Get used to it. 2. The world won't care about your self-esteem. The world will expect you to accomplish something before you feel good about yourself. 3. You will not make $40,000 a year right out of high school. You won't be a vice president with a car or a phone until you earn both. 4. If you think your teacher is tough, wait till you get a boss. He or she doesn't have tenure. 5. If you mess up, it's not your parents' fault, so don't whine about your mistakes, learn from them. 6. Your school may have done away with winners and losers, but life has not. In some schools, they have abolished failing grades. They'll give you as many times as you want to get the right answer. This doesn't bear the slightest resemblance to anything in real life. 7. Life is not divided into semesters. You don't get summers off, and very few employers are interested in helping you find yourself. Do that on your own time. 8. Television is not real life. In real life, people actually have to leave the coffee shop and go to jobs. This is the end of the tape.
Bye.